Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Whoo, Messy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Booking the Territory. Oh, yeah.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, where tonight we're going to talk a little NWA Saturday Night on TBS from May the 16th of 1987. I am sitting here with Doc and Hardbody Harper on this lovely Wednesday night, August the 22nd, 2018, and we are we're just gonna do our thing tonight. We got a big show. We got a big NWA show. Doc, what's going on, man? How you doing?
First of all, look, I've taken about 16 Blue Chews, and I am ready to go. Because I like performance, and I want to be at the top of my game. And whenever I do anything, I want to have the stink of Blue Chew on it, pal. I'm sitting here playing Ring Toss right now.
That's nice. Harper, how you doing? I'm not even going to address
you.
Harper,
great,
what's
Mike?
Up? Yeah?
Yeah.
How's that Skype update, pal?
Fuck, this sucks, man.
Why?
Because I gotta scream into the fucking screen. Like an asshole.
What happened to your headset?
I don't fucking know.
Did the Skype update eat your headset?
The fuck?
All right. So, that's nice. Harper's over there. We can't. We need a fucking BTT help desk. Harper's over there. He's got the headset on, but he's hearing us through his speaker, and his mic is through the headset, and he can't get it fixed. We tried to do it, but it's not working for whatever reason.
Sir, did you restart the computer?
Let the battery die out, and then plug it back in.
That's like it worked last week. We had a power surge. It knocked my phone out. I was like, they came in to bring me another one. Like, your phone's been out for a while. I was like, oh, really? Don't bring me another one. Fuck it. I don't care. All I get is Mike trying to call me and go, hey, what are you doing? Let's book the territory.
That's not even true. So let's keep rolling. First off, I want to mention our largest patron contributors. That's right. Hall of Fame patrons, Disrespectfully Classy, Marky Blassy, and at K_Row86. Thanks for all of your contributions and donations monthly to the show. It's of great help and assistance, especially when I had to get this new computer. And, Doc, I guess I'll throw it to you, man. You had a couple of shout-outs that you wanted to get into before we get into the NWA show.
Well, I think there's a couple more reasons why I'm glad I don't participate in Twitter. So, Harper, did you see any Twitter beefs going on today?
Dude, I haven't clicked on Twitter in like fucking 2 weeks.
You're better off for it, but you might want to go check this out because you and I's good buddy, our good friend Denim Fritz, he got into it with Mike's friend and former BTT guest, Mr. Electricity Stephen Regal today, and cut some pretty vicious promos on the one-time former AWA half of the tag team champions. Mike, what do you think about that?
All right, I just randomly picked up one of them, and it says, and this is Regal tweeting to at OG Denim Fritz, help me understand, you're not Fritz Von Erich. Why on God's green earth are you pretending you are him? What the fuck? I just want you to know that is despicable and demeaning to the Von Erich family. Delete your account now and at least your real name. And Fritz quote retweeted and said, don't get all self-righteous on me. This account is a parody and it will stay that way. How about you delete your account? I'm sure you wouldn't be missed. Kind of like when you left the territory. Not missed at all.
Mm.
That's nice.
There was more. There was one where he said the same tweet about, you know, help me understand you're not Fritz. Denim Fritz said, what he said, Fritz Von Erich was a disgusting hypocrite who exploited and destroyed his own children for profit. He portrayed himself as a Christian while using the death of his son to raise gimmick prices at Texas Stadium. Denim Fritz is working fucking stiff, dude.
Jesus Christ.
So, and you know, Denim is a good guy because he can't stand Mike. So that automatically tells you everything you need to know there. It would be a shame. I don't know how this all works. So I'm just saying it would be a shame if all the parody accounts just showed up at Steven Regal's page and said hi.
Mother Morton.
They're all...
I'm not telling anybody to do anything. But if all of a sudden the whole crew from Bogota showed up at Steven Regal's door, I bet it'd be off Twitter by nightfall. I'm not sure that I could even talk about the second one. Do I have a pass to say certain words on the air?
Let me say it. I don't. Let me just say it. Let me say it. Let me find it first.
You find it. I'll set you up. So apparently, last week's show. Or what? One of the last shows, we let that homeless guy, Phil Allen, on the show. And he tried to cut a promo on me, but at the end he's like, nah, Doc's my boy. Right, dude. Anyway, he said something about Smoky Mountain African Americans. And lo and behold, today we have ourselves a Twitter account that goes by the handle of...
Okay, what he said was... As his quote on the episode where the BTT patrons appeared was, "Let me answer that question, Mike, as a resident Smoky Mountain Wrestling Negro," was his exact words. And Philip Allen then went on to explain or whatever he was going to explain. But there's now a Twitter parody called Smoky Mountain Negro at Negro Smoky, straight out of Beckley. Straight out of Beckley is the description on this person's Twitter. And I don't really have anything else to say.
I pulled it up at the dinner table tonight, and the profile picture caused quite a reaction. So
I don't have anything else to say about it right now. I want to show it to my wife and get her thoughts, but that's all I have to say at this point.
I bet she says some combination of ugh and I can't even.
Probably. Problem.
And Michael, what are you doing with your life? What is this podcast doing? Why are you guys so filthy and ridiculous?
Yeah, really, huh?
I don't know. It's pretty
When are you going to grow up?
When are you going to grow up?
I don't know, but I tell you what, let's get down to some business here. If you are not a patron, become one at tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. Remember, that is the relatively new Patreon link. Again, it's tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. That is where you can get access to all the patron-only shows that we do. If you are still on Podbean, no problem. You can still get the patron shows there. But if you want to move over, it is tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. Remember, I will post all patron shows to both the Podbean patron page and the Patreon page. The one benefit of the Patreon page is when we do videos, which we really haven't done yet, you can get the videos on Patreon as well. So there you have it. Everything's still the same other than that. All right, so let us keep going. We got a Doc, you got anything else before we get into this week's Saturday night?
Hey, we got some hot wrestling to talk about tonight, Jack.
I know. This is one hell of a... Dude, 40 minutes? This was perfect.
Damn right.
Well, let's get into it. We're talking NWA.
Oh, we're excited. You got Harper and I hot and lathered and ready to roll, pal. Let's go. 5/16, May 16th, 1987.
All right. Well, go ahead. You sound like you got it all figured out. Go ahead and get started. What we got?
Well, I just did. It's May 16th, 1987, Saturday night edition of NWA World Championship Wrestling.
Okay,
coming to you live, coming to you live from the studios at Something Wood, Sandalwood, or whatever studios there. The heart
Tech
of
Wood,
Techwood in the heart of Dixie, pal. There you go.
Okay. and And what does Shivani and Crockett talk about in the beginning of the show? Since you got all figured out.
I watched two episodes to prepare for tonight, plus a Smoky Mountain episode. So you're going to have to be just a little bit more specific with those show notes, if you don't mind.
Okay, of course, of course. So Shivani and Crockett open the show as usual, and they talk about the finals of the tag team tournament that is happening today. And then they get into, you know, the fact that it'll be the Midnight versus Wyndham and Garvin. Well, let's keep going then. So we have, again, the finals of the tournament. But before we get to the finals of the tournament, we need to hear from Mr. Cornette and see what he's got to say on this week's episode. So let's jump into that right now.
Just think what Jim Cornette has done to Ron Garvin in the past. The fire in the face almost blinded him.
That's exactly right. And, of course, earlier today, the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette had a workout right here. And, David, you had a chance to talk to Mr. Jim Cornette about their thoughts going into tonight's tournament final. And let's go to David Crockett earlier today at ringside with the manager of the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette.
Now, Jim Cornette, the manager of the Midnight Express, tonight.
Tonight.
That's right.
Tonight.
Your two men will go up against Ron Garvin, Barry Windham, to decide the United States Tag Team Championship.
You know, I said it was going to be a Mother's Day present. It's going to be 1 week late, but still for Dorothy, for Jean, for my mama at home in Louisville, Kentucky, we're going to do it. United States Tag Team Championship. This ring right here, my boys have been here early this morning. They've been having a few little light workouts during the course of the day, just like any other major sports team would do, Dallas Cowboys, Boston Celtics, whoever it may be, and they're ready. They're in the best shape of their life. They're in the best shape of their career, and most of all, I am pleased with their progress because they have evolved. They were already the best, but they have evolved into the greatest tag team that there ever will be. And Ronnie Garvin, Barry Windham, I promise you this, the finals of the United States Tag Team Championship Tournament right here on national television, you're going to be embarrassed. I hope you have your best day. I hope you give it your best shot. Because let me tell you something, especially you, Ronnie Garvin, who's been after me for so long. If you don't give it your best shot today, not only are you going to get beat, that's a foregone conclusion, you're going to get beat, but you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be humiliated right here on national television because that's my final revenge. That's my final thing to do to you, Ronnie Garvin. After all the things that's happened in the past at my hands to you, that's my final thing to do to destroy your career, embarrass you, courtesy of the Midnight Express, right here on national television. It's going to happen. We're going to be United States Tag Team Champions. Mama's going to be happy. You know, I'm still 2 weeks ahead of that deadline, brother. She's going to be happy, and the whole world is finally going to wake up and realize that the Midnight Express are the greatest tag team that there's ever been when we got those nice, pretty, shiny belts right around our waist to complement the fact that beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan are already the sexiest athletes in sports, David Crockett.
All right, tonight we will find out. Who's going to be the United States Tag Team Champions, and who will be embarrassed?
All right, Doc, I guess I'll throw it to you first, man. Your thoughts on Cornette right there before we jump into the next segment.
I like how he was positioning himself like maybe he's the coach of the Cowboys at the Celtics. We've been here all day. We're doing some light workouts, really getting prepared. I thought that put over the fact that this is an important event. They're taking it seriously, and I mean, he's got deadlines from Mama. They got to produce out here.
I would agree. Harper, what did you have?
So that the steel cage match hasn't happened yet, right? Huh?
No.
Okay. That's what I'm fucking waiting for, man. I want to see that fucking shit.
You ain't going to see it. I'm just telling
you. Why not?
They don't show that shit, man. You got to buy a ticket.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
Well, I don't.
Yeah,
you
know how you know how you relieve the bullshit? You buy a fucking ticket.
What the fuck?
That was the problem with all this. Is they were running a regional promotion on national TV, and everybody wanted to see shit nobody could see.
Fuck.
This was the time period, man. You just did not. That ain't it. It's just that it.
Those motherfuckers flew out to Phoenix a couple of months ago. I heard Corny on the Express complaining about Ring of Honor wanting to go to Phoenix in the 2000s. And it's like, he goes, there's nothing out there by Phoenix. I was like, that's the same shit Harper and I said.
Exactly. It's Corny, like Breaking Bad, bro. They ain't got shit out there.
Corner and Harper and I should go back and fix wrestling in the 80s, man. Shit.
Look, I love Cornette, but he ain't got all the answers, bro.
Oh, okay. You must do.
I mean, no, I'm not saying I do, but I love Cornette, but sometimes, man, he's wrong. You got to admit that.
No, I don't. Okay.
I would say 9 times out of 10, he is right.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he ain't fucking wrestling God either. I mean,
I'm
a Cornette fan, but let's be real, man. He don't have all the answers.
What's wrong with you tonight?
Yeah.
Nothing.
First you were talking bad about Chris Champion's death, and now this.
No, you're the one shitting on Chris Champion because you're trying to play heel. That's what you do. You play heel. You shit on people because you think it's funny, and it's not. You're just a sad, fucking pathetic fucking entertainer is what it is. These people don't realize that. I do. Harper does. He don't say it, but he knows it. You just try. Bruh, it's the same shit with you, same song and dance. I'm going to fucking do this to piss people off. So you shit on Chris Champion's death because you're an asshole, and you think it gets heat. It's go-away heat. It's like fucking Triple H type heat. Get the fuck off my screen. That's the type of heat you get.
Oh, okay. Triple H heat? Is that what you said? Did you say Triple H heat?
Yes. Get the fuck type heat. Fuck that guy.
That's nice.
Is there anybody that you like? I mean, first of all, it was poor Chris Champion, and now this.
Hopper's a great guy.
Yeah. Oh.
We know that.
Well, you asked me, is there anybody I like? I said, Hopper's a great guy. I like Hopper. Good. All right. Well, Doc, are you ready for the next segment?
What's the next segment?
So after Cornette appears, boy, oh boy, we got some really good stuff. So let's just throw it to Shivani and Crockett right here.
They're ready.
They really are.
Ready.
And we're ready also. Of course, that comes up one fall. It'll be TV time limit for those U.S. tag team titles. Now we want to talk to you fans about Sunday, June 7th at the Omni. Another big night of wrestling coming to the Omni. It all starts 8 o'clock. And David, as you know, in the NWA, we have the world six-man tag team champions, Dusty Rhodes and the Road Warriors. They are the top six-man combination in the world. But also in the NWA, we have some great combinations like Ric Flair, the world heavyweight champion, Lex Luger, and Tully Blanchard.
That's right. They are teaming together on Sunday, June 7th to go against the guys that are coming home. The fabulous Freebirds are coming right here to Atlanta.
The Kings of the South coming back to Georgia. The fabulous Freebirds to take on Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, and Lex Luger in a six-man tag team event at the Omni. Let's right now take a look at the fabulous Freebirds.
So, Doc, you, the minute you saw this, wanted to talk to me. So, what do you think? What do you got, man?
What did I want to talk to you about?
You were like the free bird, so tell me what's on your mind.
Well, hey, here's something, pal. Was I the only one that forgot that there were six-man tag straps or a six-man title until Shivani brought that shit up?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it was the Russians, right?
And then it was the Road Warriors and Dusty.
Right, with that stupid trophy.
It's been them for how long?
Over a year.
Oh, damn, it's been that long? Fuck.
Been a fucking while, dude. This is not new. Been a long time, bro.
So am I correct in saying that we are about 3 or 4 weeks into the UWF being owned by Crockett now?
Oh, this is May 16th. It's been a month.
Yeah. So are they there? They would be considered the first, not defects, like we're going to shoot the camera over to Corky and the crowd, but defects like they defected. They're the first people to transfer in to Crockett from UWF. Is that correct?
I think you're right. They're the first ones to make a camera appearance. They're not the first ones to be mentioned. They've mentioned a lot of people at this point. First ones who will appear, though, you're probably right on that.
Okay.
Because, like, Harper, remember last week, Murdoch said Steve Williams' name, and they mentioned Bubba, and they've mentioned Akbar. So they mentioned a couple of people, but they haven't, no one's been on camera yet, but the Freebirds are about to break that up. So, yes, you're right.
I can't wait for that shit.
Well, that's next week's episode, which we're going to do shortly since we got to do two in one night.
I've always wanted that fucking t-shirt, man. The Bad Street USA shirt.
Bro, I'm sure can you can get that shit off of eBay or something.
Can you not crank a few bars of that up so we can hear a little bit of it?
Yeah.
So hold on one second. Give me a second. Let me go back to it. I'll have to edit it out if I put it on YouTube, though. Hold on one second. Let me see.
I like how WWF will leave that shit on, though.
Yeah, buddy.
let it roll for a second. All right, we can talk over it. It's in the background. But, bro, that shit gives you the chills, don't it, Doc?
It makes me want to see some Freebirds, pal.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, it's pretty fucking awesome, bro. Y'all can't see it, but they're showing them in UWF right now, basically, you know, fucking wreaking havoc. Fucking Michael Hayes. Ah, look at Doc Jerry.
We'll talk about her later.
Yeah, we will. I'm listening. What's up?
It's real loud in the headphones, pal. Produce the show. Were they baby faces or heels in UWF when they came over?
Well, they were. This is. Fuck, what were they? That shit runs together. They were heels when they first came in.
Because they got a big-ass pop from the crowd when Shivani mentioned that shit.
Why, for fucking Georgia, dude. I mean, they're back home.
Yeah, no, huh?
Whether they heel or baby faces in UWF at that point is pointless, bro. They're fucking from Georgia. So... I don't fucking remember, to be honest with you. I've told you this a bunch of times, bro. Once UWF got into 87, fucking Mike was 12 years old, about to start sniffing up some ass, man. And UWF wasn't doing it for me, dog.
What the hell?
What does sniffing up some ass mean?
Sniffing up some fucking snatch. That's what I'm talking about, bro.
At 12 years old?
Jesus Christ.
Hopper.
Who the fuck were you fucking at 12 years old?
I wasn't fucking. I was trying to see what was going on in the world.
Damn. What was her first name? What was her name? Laquanda?
Tramika?
Dude, Hopper's close, actually. Hopper did. You got it.
So you were.
He almost nailed the chick's name, man.
He probably had her too.
Tramika.
Holy shit. All right. Let's keep going. Doc, any other thoughts on Hopper? Any other thoughts on the Freebirds?
Well, were you black back then?
Hopper, any other thoughts on the Freebirds?
Nah, we can move on. Were you black back then? Or did you just like became black when it became cool?
I think it's funny because I remember Hopper, one of the old shows, Hopper was like, "Bruh, you grumpin' Gentilly? What's up with that fucking church there? White people, a big ass church in the middle of the fucking hood."
That big ass Baptist church.
You can never trust a bunch of uptight white people that feel comfortable just strolling straight square middle into the hood.
They're Southern drawls.
They're up to something, dude.
Hopper, are they up to something at that church?
Yeah, I think it's like fucking X-Files type shit. Or it could be where the S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters is for the Avengers or something.
I'm sure that's it.
All right. Can we keep going? Any more thoughts on the Freebirds, Hopper?
Well, they're coming straight square in and tying it on with the horsemen. So that ought to produce some verbal gymnastics between the two crews.
Agreed. Let's keep it moving because after the music video plays with Freebirds, we got J.J. Dillon out there and he's got something to say.
That's right. The boys are going to be back in town Sunday, June 7th at the Omni.
And they really, of course, are coming back. And you hear the cheer from the fans here at the studio. And I'm sure same will take place in the Omni on Sunday night, June 7th. But, of course, across the ring from the fabulous Freebirds will be three of the four horsemen, Tully Blanchard, Lex Luger, the world champion, Ric Flair, and along, of course, with their mentor, James J. Dillon.
You know what amazes me? Less than 2 weeks ago, I went on national television and I said, as I've said week in and week out for the last year, that the Four Horsemen dominate the world of professional wrestling. Whether you're talking about one-on-one, any of the four, any two, I'm talking about the Dream Team, Ric Flair, Lex Luger. I'm talking about any combination. If you want to pick three, you got the finest three single athletes in the world. And then, of course, that very, very rare occasion when all four might enter the ring at the same time. Now, you know, sure, the World Six-Man Champions are the Road Warriors, Dusty Rhodes. They're awesome. But every time we talk about challenge for that title, the Road Warriors find it very convenient to end up in Japan, beating up on a couple of Japs, and come back with the international tag belts.
Damn.
Now, all of a sudden, the Freebirds. Welcome back home to the Freebirds. All of a sudden, their name's on a contract. Well, it's very appropriate that it be right here in Atlanta, Georgia, because for the Four Horsemen, this is our home away from home. Every week right here on the Superstation, you find one of us or all of us. So it's very fitting that I come back to the Omni on Sunday, June 7th. Well, Michael Hayes, we know you can sing. And Terry Gordy, we know you can strut your bad. And Buddy Roberts, I don't know what your hang-up is, but obviously since you left town, somebody else has moved in and set up camp, and we don't figure on leaving. So Sunday, June 7th, we're going to find out just how bad the Freebirds are, because we already know how bad the Horsemen are.
Fans, when we come back, it's our match for the U.S. Tag Team Championship. Don't you dare go away.
Harper, I'm going to throw it to you first, man. I thought JJ was real good there, just telling, you know, look, Freebirds, you left town. Somebody else moved in and set up camp. What did you think about all that, man? I thought that was real good.
I like when he says, well, we know you could sing. You do. I can't wait for this shit. I forgot about this.
So it's all new again.
Yeah, it's all fucking new. I mean, so far, this would be fucking badass.
Yeah, I agree, man. This is... Fuck.
And this is the kind of depth you need, because you need Lex Luger to be the sixth best guy. If Luger is the sixth most entertaining guy in the sixth man, you're fine. That's okay.
Right.
Luger's that's a great place for Luger to be, where he doesn't have to carry the load behind Tully and Flair and the three Freebirds. Man, we're stacked and packed. It's okay.
Yeah, guy. Yeah, he can't carry the load anywhere at this time.
At this time? Or any time.
Wow.
Doc hates him.
Even Doc Lex hates Express?
Him. Especially. No, I don't even know about that. I wasn't watching that bullshit. But I'm pretty sure that that's an unacceptable term, that we're going to have to run that one term by our HR department, the BTTHR. JJ can't call those people from that part of the world that name. That is insensitive, sir.
What do you call them?
I chuckled when he said it.
Remember when Bill Parcells did it?
I don't remember Parcells. What'd
he call him?
He did something like that, I think, when he coached here. I didn't care back then because he was our coach. But
I don't remember saying that. But J.J. Dillon said the Road Warriors were overseas.
Fighting a bunch of...
Japs. Yes.
Didn't Cornette say that? And they like bleeped it out?
Cornette went further and said, slant-eyed Japs.
Oh, no.
But JJ said Japs.
That's an insensitive term that demeans their heritage and their cultural identity. And
yes.
So I would prefer that we not use those terms.
Well, the funny part is, WWE Network bleeped it out, but when it originally aired, Cornette got away with saying slant-eyed Japs. It's on the original footage.
It was 1986 or 87. Of course he did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Harper, any other thoughts on JJ right there?
Nuh-uh.
Doc, what about you?
Man, this is one of those things where everybody involved can damn near talk us in the building, and they don't even need to.
Some good shit.
Yeah,
bro.
They just show up.
Yeah. It's the Freebirds versus the Von Erichs. I mean, not the Freebirds versus Von Erichs. The fucking Freebirds versus the Horsemen. So, I agree. All right, let's get into the meat of this show. Because this show, we've talked for a bit now, but this show is all about the Midnight Express versus Ronnie Garvin and Barry Windham for the U.S. Tag Team titles. They went for a long-ass time. I mean, it was damn near 20 minutes. I want to first, before I talk about what happens at the finish and all that good stuff, Doc, you first, and then we'll go to Harper. Doc, your thoughts on this match, which basically consumed the entire, nearly the entire show. I mean, it was more than one third. I'd say it was probably about 40% of the show because it was close to 20 minutes. I'm sorry, almost 50% of the show because it was close to 20 minutes. Doc, what'd you have?
You told me that to always fast forward through the matches and only watch the promos. Did I do something wrong?
Harper, what did you have from the match?
I did the same thing.
Okay. So we were not going to act.
Hit the tagline, Harper.
Book it, bitch.
Doc, you want to share your thoughts on the match?
Both teams played hard. Remember when Rasheed Wallace did that? Oh, man. I thought these guys were awesome, all four dudes. I did see Garvin miss a hip toss on Stan at one point, but man. Yeah. There was a point when Ronnie made the tag. That crowd came unglued. The crowd was into it. At the 28-minute range on the episode, there was a point where I felt like Teddy Long should have gone ahead and counted the three because somebody didn't kick out. I don't remember who, but you can go back and look at that on your own time. But oh, it was the Midnight should have lost. That's what I had there. I had to look at my notes here. But once you explain to me and remind me what the finish is, I had a note here that I did like the finish.
Okay. Well, let me throw it to Harper first, and then I'll go over the finish. Harper, what'd you have? And I agree, Doc. Yeah, dude, you're right. Man. That was a messed up. Teddy should have counted to three. You are absolutely right. I remember that. Harper, what'd you have?
Like Doc said, I saw where he missed the hip toss. But, yeah, when they got Cornette and that fucking sleeper, man, they fucking came unglued.
Sure did.
Yeah. When he missed the fucking tennis racket. Fuck.
I tell you what, it's about a minute. Let me play the audio from the finish. Here it is, and then we'll talk about it.
Get going, get ready for it.
Is going berserk right in front of our eyes. Rockets, chairs, referees on the floor.
Throws him in. Barry's going to have to stand. No, don't count.
Garvin is out from that
Midnight
chair.
Just won.
Cornette is out on the floor.
So a lot of chaos, basically, but Midnight just won. Wyndham has Cornette in a sleeper. Cornette is asleep outside the ring. Stan uses the racket and hits Garvin. Eaton falls onto Garvin, like just falls over onto him. Teddy Long rolls in, counts the pin as Eaton is laying over Garvin. Midnight Express wins by pinfall. Doc, that's the finish. What did you have?
It was clever, and the people were into it.
The air left the fucking room, I tell you that much, when they won.
Yeah, it sure did. I thought David Crockett was going to have a coronary.
Yeah, he did that same thing when he almost climaxes.
What?
Well, Harper's right.
Yeah. When he screams his fucking head off.
He sure fuck does. So, what else, Doc?
We got champs, pal. Champs were named. The prestigious... Now Corny can show his face with his mama.
And Harper, what did you have from it?
It's fucking great. Think of how lucky are these fucking assholes. And did you see the little girl in the beginning with the her face was like, oh my God, they're going to lose. Yeah. That was great, man.
Crushing babies' souls, man.
Yeah. I remember them days.
This was good because the Midnight have been without belts for a while. I mean, this is May 16th. I forget the exact date that they lost to the Rock and Roll Express when they lost the tag titles, but it has been not a year, but it has been a long ass time. They finally got gold back. It's Stan Lane's first gold as a member of the Express. This is just good, you know, and they did it. They fucked them over in the finish. It was good.
They did it the American way by cheating.
You damn right they did. By American.
They cheated. It's fucking fabulous, man. Whoa. Loved it. What?
They didn't cheat.
They cheated, and it's great.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Hey, there's an old motto, man. I had it when I was in school. Cheat or repeat. And the other motto is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And there you go. That's a little lesson from the Mikester.
I used to watch the TV show The Shield.
Yeah.
You remember that show? That was great. And one of their characters had a line, eating ain't cheating.
Well, there you go.
Eating ain't cheating?
Yeah.
All right. You got that, Doc? Oh. I mean, Mike?
I got it. Oh, wow. Eating ain't cheating. That's nice. That's real classy. All right. So let me go to Harper now. Harper, anything else before we go to the next promo?
No. Let's move on.
All right, we got two promos because again, it's not this promo is not this episode is not a heavy on promos. The main thing was the tag match of the Midnight Express win. But after the match, Crockett and Schiavone are on the mic, and then Stan Lane and Bobby Eaton interrupt. And here it is. Let's listen to what Stan's got to say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the new United States Tag Team Champions, the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette.
I think, first of all, what we have to say, David, it was a great match.
Oh, yes. No argument about that.
All four men gave it their all, and they gave it everything they got. And at the end, it was an asleep Jim Cornette along with the Midnight Express. And here they are, beautiful Bobby and sweet Stan. And I don't see Jim Cornette. I'm assuming that Cornette is still asleep in the back there somewhere.
I don't know, Tony Schiavone. And you too, Mr. Crockett, if you guys can fully realize, fully comprehend all the many, many hours that this man and I and Mr. Cornette spent in the gym, all the hundreds and hundreds of miles this man and I ran trying to get these straps. It's been a long, hard climb. But brother, we got them now. You know, Ronnie Garvin, first of all, we burned your face, made you even uglier than you were. And then we humiliated you a little more. We stood out here time and time again, Tony Schiavone, and told all the people that we were going to do it. And now we've done it. And it wasn't some coliseum. It wasn't some big arena, some dome. It was right here on the Super Channel in front of 80 million plus people, brother. And now there's no stopping us now. The U.S. Tag Team straps are ours. And now, Tony Schiavone, there's only one place to go, brother. And that's one more step up the ladder to the pinnacle. To the utmost, on the very, very top of the mountain, I'm talking about the World Tag Team Straps. And you can sit out there and chant and make lewd, crude remarks and clap your hands like a bunch of morons that you are, but you'll never, never deny us the championship that we took right here on TV. And I know, being the man you are, Tony, that you want to congratulate me and beautiful Bobby right now. You probably want to shake the man's hand. Go ahead, you can shake his hand.
All right, well, okay, congratulations.
Give me that mic. Why don't you stand back here? I want the people all across America to take a good look at the new U.S. Tag Team Champions. Get a good look. Pull out your little pocket cameras, your little Polaroid instruments.
Let's see the tape now. Come on. Let's see what you guys did.
Let's watch the tape
right now.
And see how two athletes, two Christian athletes, took the straps fair and square. Let's watch it.
Let's go to it. Let's go to the tape.
All right, I'll turn it down for a second. Doc, I want to get your thoughts first. As they replay it, I can see it where Bobby misses that big elbow drop. But, Doc, your thoughts on Stan right there.
I had two things. One, Bobby Eaton is sweaty as all fucking hell. He put in some work for his set right there, man. Damn. Second of all, dude, Stan said we're a couple of Christian athletes.
His exact words were, "Let's see the tape of us two Christian athletes." As they throw back to the finish, the dude who slapped six bitches on the beach before he hopped on the fucking plane. It just said we're Christians.
That is fantastic. That is great.
I gave my drink to the bartender and I slept all six of these hoes and I hopped on a plane because Jimmy said he needed me. And then 2 weeks later, let's see the tape of us two Christian athletes.
He's the head of the Atlanta chapter of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Oh man, what's the odds that some young lady got a rope across the belt in the face that night?
Wow, for that nice Christian boy,
right?
Well, Harper, let me ask you a question: was he having un-Catholic thoughts that night?
Oh, no doubt.
Cosmic fireball at a bitch.
Oh,
all right, let's get Harper's thoughts on.
Well, and that's the good part about having Stan on in the crew now is that when Corny was incapacitated, you got a guy you can hand the mic to and Stan that can make shit happen.
Harper, what did you have from this?
This was a nice treat seeing Stan shoot a promo. It showed that like he could stand on his own a bit.
That's the beauty
when it comes to talking.
In my opinion, of the Midnight Express with Stan, is that Stan can grab the mic, and I mean Dennis grabbed it every blue moon, but it wasn't often. But Stan, as we've seen in Smoky Mountain, and we see here, Stan can grab the mic, and Stan can run with the ball, and he can score, very easily. And that's the beauty of Stan in the Midnight Express. That's why. I'm not going to say Stan in the Midnight was an upgrade, but it was different, and it was an enhancement, and it was enjoyable. So I agree, man. Stan was awesome. I love when he said he called the titles the straps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can call that anymore, huh?
Now they're the championships or some shit. They can't call it a belt or a strap.
They can call it a belt or a strap. But it's a strap, so they call it a strap, and I love that. But Harper, what else you got from Stan right there?
Like what Doc said about the nice Christian boys. Two nice Christian athletes.
Jesus.
That was great. Because, dude, you know, he just pulled that right out of his ass right then and there.
Right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the tape of us two Christian athletes.
What's next? Flying in your seafood?
Yeah, buddy. All right, let's go to Stan here. Stan's going to come in now here again, and he's got something else to say. Here it is.
You know, I always knew that Barry Windham, in the low class, like a breeding guy that he is from West Texas, a guy that drives those cheap, jacked up pickup trucks. How dare he put his hands on this man right here? How dare he touch Mr. Jim Cornette? Jim, how do you feel? I can't believe it.
I feel great. I'm going to tell you something, Ronnie Garvin. I want all the national TV audience to look right here at this picture. Sure, I'm a little lightheaded, but I'm a macho kind of guy. The United States Tag Team Champions, and it was so easy. We beat them so easily right there in the middle of the ring. Ronnie Garvin, I told you, I warned you at the top of this program, brother, that you better get in there, and you not only better have a good match, you better have a great match. You better have the best day of your life. You and Barry Windham better give it everything you got. Better fight your hardest. Better get in there and dig down in your guts and stretch and claw and gouge and do your dead level best to beat these men. And you weren't going to do it anyway. But if you didn't, you were going to be embarrassed. Well, that's exactly what happened. You threw every single stinking thing that you could muster up at the Midnight Express. Every single move you know, every single hold, every single counter. And it didn't do a bit of good because you didn't win. That's the bottom line. You did not win these belts. And that's what's most important, Ronnie Garvin. We burned you. We knocked you out of $1 million at that Jim Crockett Cup. We got your goofy brother. We beat his head in. We caused you to lose these belts in the first place. And then you know what we did? We went all the way through the tournament right here on national television. Even gave you a chance. You won the first round, so did we. You come down to the finals, and we gave you a shot there. And you know what you did, Ronnie Garvin? You lost, brother. You and that punk Barry Windham, you lost. And now, my revenge is complete. You've been embarrassed. You've been humiliated. Your career is over. And, Ronnie, I hope very seriously that you can find a job selling some nice used cars or maybe go to some kind of new wave hairstyling salon. Let's get out of here, boys. We got some celebrating to do.
Here's your mic back.
It's been your pleasure to see the greatest team in wrestling.
Congratulations, champions, U.S. Tag Team Champions.
Crockett and Shivani are about to close out the show. They need to stretch it out for another couple minutes, but Doc, throw it to you.
thoughts on, well, Harper, you go first this time. Your thoughts on Stan right there and basically pissing on, or Cornette pissing on Garvin and Windham and, as they gloat about their victory.
I mean, this is this whole thing was the midnight show.
Sure the hell was.
This was a great episode, man. Fucking 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for baseball.
So, while you're saying that, Doc, I'm going to throw it to you, but I'm just going to throw this out there. I want to hear your thoughts on that last promo. But immediately when I got to this point in the episode, I was like, A+, A+, A+.
Yes.
Midnight Express, get the Rolex. But my whole thing was, dude, this is why less is more. 40 mm-hmm. minutes, this shit flew by. I mean, it was phenomenal in that it flew by, A+, just good hour of television, minus the commercials, obviously. That's why it's 40 minutes, but in local promos that were probably mixed in. Doc, I throw it to you. Thoughts?
I love it. Just the snarkiness of, here's your microphone back. Just, they fulfilled the story, the arc of the story. Because if you go back to the beginning, it was Corny saying his mom had told him, we got a weak link. We got a weak link. And so Corny got on the horn and he fixed the link. And here comes Stan Lane and everything's going to be okay. And today was the evidence that Corny was making the right moves and they're on the right path and they're champions.
What you going to rate it?
The episode?
I know what it's going to be, but what you going to rate it?
A+. This is wrestling. Bump, 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 bump. This is wrestling.
I'm with you. A+ myself. Harper, what you going to rate it?
A fucking A+, 1,000. This was perfect.
Who gets a Rolex, Harper?
Stan.
I gave it to the Midnight only because they won the titles, but I mean,
I was going to do that, but we're used to seeing them have championships. We're not used to seeing Stan just take the mic and fucking take over. So that's why I gave it to him with the Christian athletes.
Hashtag Christian athletes.
Yeah. They're probably talking about the Notre Dame football team or something.
That's like saying this is a Christian podcast.
Hold on. Did you hear what Harper said? We were talking over him. Harper said it's like if you put that hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Christian athletes, they'll be thinking you're talking about the Notre Dame football team. Shit. So we all gave it an A+. I got to agree. Let me throw it at Stan as well, the Rolex. Doc, you're Stan and A+, you're saying?
Stan and A+.
It's hard not to. It's hard not to. All right. So, again.
Well, and hold on a second. Let me throw this into – let me pull a new breed and go into the future. Man, if you think giving a government cheese out – rating was a little bit difficult today. Wait till next week, man. Jesus Christ. This week was great. Next week's going to be great too. Wrestling, we've made wrestling great again. That's what we've done.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So, all right, let's go into, I'm going to share my screen with you all because what's wrong with that?
Put your pants on.
No,
that's
I'm not
afraid of. You've been taking the blue chews that they sent you, and now we're going to have to see it.
You do realize we don't have Blue Chew as a sponsor.
Always
did
be
it respond back?
Always be closing. Always. I do some positive visualization techniques that allow me to master my environment. And so maybe you should just get a hard on and wait for them to call back.
That might be one of the lamest jokes you've ever told.
Yeah, watch some of those fucking Sasha pictures that fucking people posted on Facebook today. What the fuck, man?
That bald-headed twat couldn't even
Jesus
get on
Christ. Point. I thought I love that people. Shit was fake at first.
I love people insulting Sasha. It's just like, come on. Come on.
Are we talking about real Sasha or Sasha Menace?
Sasha Banks, the real Sasha. Just, okay. They need to leave her alone. Doc, we'll have plenty of time to discuss that in a second. Right now, I want to go to Halloween Havoc 1990. It's on your WWE network. This was a quick show, so we're gonna go to Halloween Havoc 1990. I'm gonna about to share my screen with you, and we are at the 40-41 mark. So do that now as I'm sharing my screen with these morons out there. So Halloween Havoc 1990, 40-41 mark, and we'll talk about the Facebook page in a second because I do need to mention some things related to that. So hopefully you've had time to queue it up. Harper, can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Doc, can you see my screen?
Yeah. Right. That's not me, by the way, down in the right corner there.
That's not you?
No.
Yeah, that is him. But anyway, let's roll on this puppy. So no sound. We're going to hit play in at 40-41, Halloween Havoc 1990. Hitting play in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hit play now. And we're about to watch the Steiners and the Nasty Boys. The Steiners, at this point, are the U.S. Tag Team Champions. And I want to ask Hopper first because...
Hey, you know it's Halloween because they brought pumpkins out.
Doc, you and I were kind of checked out, you know, admittedly at this point. Hopper, do you remember this?
I was still watching this, but I mean, be honest, I remember them feuding with Doom with the whole woman thing. That's what I remember from this era.
From this era. So the thing about this that gets me is it's pretty fucking intense. Doc, didn't you go back and watch this at one point?
Well, it'd be great if you wouldn't knock out. Yeah, I have seen this. Somebody should have told these four guys this shit was a work. Any one of the four. Quit moving shit around so we can see this shit.
I was trying to get the Skype window out of the way, you dumbass.
I mean,
you two talk about. It's not locking up on my end. You two talk about what you're watching here. It might be the new Skype, to be honest with you, because I didn't have this problem with the old Skype at all.
Yeah, no. Fucking shit.
It's freezing up on y'all?
It's sticking real bad, dude. It's like it's jumping. Mm-hmm.
It's the new Skype. It's not the old one. So,
fuck this Skype.
Dude.
Oh.
Scott Steiner just did a belly-to-belly off the top rope, it looked like. The crowd popped for that, too. Look at that crowd. Look at those hillbillies.
I know. Where is this at?
Yeah, where is this? Do some research. Halloween Havoc, 1990.
It is in Chicago, UIC Pavilion.
They couldn't even get the Rosemont Horizon.
No.
Or the United Center, wherever shit was going down.
I'm going to shut up. You two talk.
Well, I hate that maroon-colored ring. That shit looks like
shit. Yeah, what's up with that shit?
That shit looks like they fucking bought it down at the bingo hall. I didn't remember that they actually did actually had guys get out on the apron and have a regular tag match here. I just thought they beat the piss out of each other, no DQ style. But this is back when the Steiners just worked stiff and didn't give a fuck too.
Yeah, no. Huh?
And I'm not sure the Nasty Boys ever really did either.
They go 15 minutes, just for the record.
Jesus Christ. I got to talk about these assholes for 14 more minutes.
Did you see Scott Steiner deliver that?
Rick Steiner just punched that dude straight in the head.
So, I watched this. Let's say something real quick. I watched this a while back, and the thing that came to my mind. Let me just bulldog off the top rope. Rick Steiner was Scott Steiner holding Sags up. Holy shit. The thing that got me, and I will say this to you all, because the listeners on the podcast can't see it, but if you're watching on YouTube, you could. The crowd, if you just pay attention to the crowd throughout this match, these sons of bitches are going nuts. They don't they pop at all the freaking big moves, which there are a lot of. Now, Doc, you had mentioned it's a tag match. It's not really. I mean, they kind of beat the shit out of each other, in my opinion. I mean, they're a little bit of traditional tag, but there's a lot of ass whooping going on here.
Here's my question. Who in the hell was the world tag team champs?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Because they're the U.S. champions. Who's the world tag team champions?
I gotta look that up.
Y'all talk. No. Y'all talk about the match. Let me do that. Y'all talk about the match.
Well, this shit's freezing up so bad. We're really having to work hard here, pal.
Yeah.
And that ain't got nothing to do with me.
Power slammed them.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with you, so you don't give a shit. But Harper and I are having to work in substandard conditions and still be the talent.
Good for you. Keep doing it.
Dude, he tossed him out of the ring like a motherfucker. Now they're out there where the Nasty Boys can hit him with a shovel or some shit.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, you two suck at commentary, just so you know.
Well, it's freezing up, Michael. So it's hard to see. Hey, Harper, which do you like better? The runway that's like even with the ring coming down?
No, that.
I hate that shit too. That was the worst.
Well, you see, the thing is, it cuts off where you could run outside the ring.
You should also hit the ringside down below and have to step up into the ring and make it seem important.
Yeah.
Dude, we need to get in Boogie's Boogie Mobile and go back and fix early 90s WCW. This is some bullshit. The ring's jacked up. The entrance ramp's wrong. They don't have enough pumpkins out there at the beginning. This is bullshit. Who's the champs, Mike?
So is it Doom? It is Doom. Harper would have known it, but it was Doom. Doom was the world champions. It was WCW at that point. Doom won the world titles May 19th, 1990 at Capital Combat.
I wonder who they were feuding with, because I need some kind of justification why the Steiners at this point in their career in 1990 are not in the World Tag Team Championship picture.
No.
Because that crowd is over for this match, and I guarantee it's not because of the Nasty Boys.
Right.
Hold on 1 second. I thought that Doom beat... Y'all keep talking. I'm looking right now.
He just gave Scott Steiner a wedgie. You see that shit? I would not pull Scott Steiner's spandex up his ass crack.
Harper, you're right. Doom beat the Steiners.
Because of the whole woman thing.
Robin Green.
And that was Doom without the mask.
Okay, if it's 1990 and you could only pull a rib on one of the two, who would you pull a rib on? Scott Steiner or Rick Rude?
Oh, God, that's hard.
it ain't
hard for me. I'm pulling that shit on Steiner.
Why?
Bruh, I heard too many stories about Rick Rude. I mean, don't get me wrong. Scott Steiner's a badass, and he's a fucking, great amateur wrestler and all that, but I'm pulling. I feel like Scott Steiner would just stretch me, whereas Rude would just, like, literally kill me.
Yeah, pull a gun out on you.
Yeah, like, your motherfucker would be like, you making fun of me, you motherfucker? Pop, 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 and then I'm gone. Whereas the stretching, I'm just getting fucking stretched.
When did Rick Rude turn into Big Swole?
Did he have a gun on him? I'm hearing some story.
Yes. I don't remember the story, but yes.
When he was the champion, when he was the world champion.
I ain't fucking with Rick Rude, bro.
Is that so he could go down in the causeway and shoot squirrels?
Didn't you have a question for Harper about his squirrel shooting?
Do you have any good recipes for squirrel?
That squirrel gumbo.
So when you shot a squirrel, did you actually do the like skinning of it and all that?
Yeah. Me and my dad would sit there and clean it, and then my mom would put it in gumbo.
Did you get a lot of meat off an average squirrel?
No.
So how many did you have to shoot to make some good squirrel gumbo?
You would need 4.
Dude, Rick Rick Steiner just popped him with that clothesline. I'm still watching, just so you know. Damn. Rick
went
over the rope.
Flying over the top?
Yeah, he must have known the rules, unlike the Rock and Roll Express. Oh, that's a tough pile driver, nice. I think. Yeah, it was far away, though. You've got this little screen on. I can't really see what's going on. Dude, these guys are beating the piss out of each other.
Just look at the crowd the whole time, man.
This crowd is lubed up, man. It's like they just came out of a Blackhawks game or some shit. It's frozen now, though, so I don't know what you want me to do.
Well, let's go back to the squirrel talking.
I think we found out.
The middle rope's got tape over it?
Yes, it's got... Yeah, it's like that weird-looking... It's like they took a roll of electrical tape around it, and they spun it all the way around it, where it's almost got that candy cane look, except it's black and red.
Jesus Christ.
The Steiners and Doom are like the only thing in 1990 WCW that's not just a complete disaster.
Yeah.
To say the company was as bad as it was, think about these two teams.
Well, I don't like the Nasty Boys, but that's a personal preference.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you like the Nasty Boys, but my point is, like, how badass was a match like this where these two just beat the shit out of each other for the U.S. tag belts at that?
Yeah, because they're not really, there's not a whole lot of working going on, it doesn't look like. I'm sure they are, which makes it even better, but this looks stiff as hell, and you know it is.
Wonder who the last U.S. tag team champion was for them.
Talk about squirrels. I'm on it.
So, well, what part of the squirrel is the tastiest?
Like the ass and the legs.
Ass meat?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where all the meat is. It's in the legs.
You never worried about, like, rabies or anything like that with a...
No, man.
No?
No, that's that's like eating some fucking free-range chickens, man.
Oh, okay. Well...
You never went hunting as a kid?
I've never fired a gun in my life.
Are you fucking serious?
Very serious.
Jesus Christ.
I don't believe in... I'm a pacifist. I don't believe in violence.
Wow.
Only scripted violence, like this. I've never fired a firearm.
Jesus. So, you don't have a gun?
I do not own a firearm, no.
Wow. I want to come rob your house.
Well, I'll hit you in the head with a shovel like the Nasty Boys.
The question that was asked for me about the U.S. tag titles?
Who was the last one to hold it?
Yeah.
The Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane, ironically. They had it, they won it on May 19th, 1990, and the Steiner brothers won it August 24th, 1990 on a house show in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So they won it at that point.
Would you like to know the 44 guys that are on the WCW roster right now?
Oh, God.
Did you look it up for this time period?
Yeah, October 90.
Okay,
Flair's still there. Flair's still there because he hasn't moved over yet. And Eaton and Sweet Stan. Big Lex. Rotundo. Sting. Jimmy Garvin. Ron Simmons. Rick Steiner, Rip Morgan, we saw him in Smoky Mountain, right?
Yeah.
Michael Hayes, JYD, dude, how fat was he there? Jesus Christ. Butch Reed, the Iron Sheik, Jack Victory, Scott Steiner, Norman the Lunatic, Jesus Christ. Sid Vicious, Pillman, uh-oh. Somebody say something about Fired Up, Tommy Rich.
Mm.
Tom Zink, Double A, Morton Gibson, Brad Armstrong, Smothers, Steve Armstrong, Barry Windham, Rocky King. Barry Horowitz is on the roster. Vader, El Gigante, The Juicer, What does he do? Come out, make some beet juice or something? Jesus Christ. Terry Taylor, JW Storm, Knob Sags, Master Blaster Blade, Master Blaster Steel, Spivey, Moondog Rex, Alan Iron Eagle, Mark Youngblood, and Chris Youngblood. Yikes.
I mean, you act like that what you read was real.
He had
like,
Ranger Ross. Remember him?
Firebreaker yeah. Chip.
I remember seeing Ranger Ross at the Municipal Auditorium, I think it was, and he came down on a ripcord like what Shawn Michaels did at fucking WrestleMania.
No, in WCW, I'm surprised he didn't fall out of the ceiling. Owen Hart style. Jesus Christ, would you have trusted WCW to rappel you from a ceiling?
Yeah, no, huh? Jesus. It was him versus the Secret Service guy.
The Secret Service guy.
You remember him? He wore sunglasses and he would pretend like he would hold his hand to his ear like he was talking to somebody. And he was who the fuck was his name, man?
I'm going to have to plead the fifth on that.
He was like a Secret Service guy. And he wore like the black sunglasses. And he
their
would have
banner doesn't their banner doesn't cover the whole ring. I just noticed that.
It just got squished down, bro. That's all it is. But this is okay. we're working towards a finish right here. You're about to see the finish between these two teams.
Scott and Sags get out there and bludgeon each other to death.
No, yeah. I don't think it covers the whole ring.
You might be right. So here's a finish.
That right there is one of the greatest moves ever. Look at that crowd.
Dude, they're excited.
Bro.
How did they go from that level of excitement to just like 2 years later drawing 400 people?
That's crazy, huh? Yeah.
So, Rick Steiner... I'm sorry, Scott Steiner just hit a fucking Frankensteiner.
That move is so ridiculous. Knob.
So there they showed a clothesline off the top, and then now they cut to live where they attacked the Steiners after. But I thought they replayed it, but freaking Scott Steiner hits a fucking Frankensteiner on Knobs.
Remember the first time you saw a Frankensteiner and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was so badass. But it's only if he does it. I mean, now it looks like shit. It's like a DDT. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
I'm talking about 1990. He pulled that out. You're like, what the shit is that? It's kind of like the Canadian Destroyer. You're like, what did I just see?
Yeah.
I was by a friend of mine's house the very first time I ever saw the Frankensteiner. And when he did it, I was like, You didn't have DVR back then. I was like, fuck. Did you just see what I think we just saw? Like, a dude just fucking, like here, and he's about to do it on a replay right here. I'm like, he just fucking, look at this. He lands right on his head.
Knobs did not take that well, which I'm sure was of little concern to Scott Steiner.
But that was freaking badass, man. The way I mean that shit back in the day was incredible. But I agree, man. That move at that time was insane.
What's wrong with Schiavone?
Do y'all want to hear that? Whatever's about to happen.
No.
Oh, okay. No. Schiavone's got the Phantom of the Opera type gimmick on right now. All right. So, but that was Halloween Havoc 1990 with the U.S. Tag Team Champions, the Steiner Brothers, against the fucking Nasty Boys. They beat the shit out of each other, man. It was actually very entertaining, in my opinion. But there was that. So, all right, we're going to get ready to get out of here in a second because we got another episode to do. But hopefully you enjoyed this week as usual. Remember, become a patron. Go to tinyurl.com/patreonbtt to get access to all the patron-only content. And let's see. Use the Amazon referral link, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Give it to the wives, girlfriends, or the side pieces in your life. And please tell them to use it, bookmark it, and all that good stuff. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here?
We got to do another one of these tonight.
I know.
Got one more to do, bro.
One more to do. I got to shout out some Hall of Fame patrons. Header.
Let's get out of here and get started again. Jesus Christ.
All right, before we do that, shout out to the Hall of Fame patrons, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, at MPRU83, LSRE Miller 39, Justin underscore Andretti, Jay Shiny 21, Gerald Green at third, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, USC 49ers Dodger, T Hog 94, SV Padgett, Martin Howell 71, Tim Arechi, Coleman 82, God Bold Unreal, Unconvinced Ray on Twitter. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. And shout out to a couple of podcasts that support us each and every week. The Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with ROH's Brian Malonis and Mike Crockett. They do their thing every single Monday. Give them a listen. Just search Wrestling Podcast About Nothing and you can find them. Also, shout out to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast with Joe Murata and Michael Quinn each and every Monday as well. The Northern version of BTT, slightly classier, a little bit more professional. And that's that. Harper, get us out of here, brah. Hit the tagline.
God damn.
I got to pee.
Why are you talking over the tagline?
Fuck it, bitch.